some of you will have heard of prototype cars, often at car shows such as in Detroit and elsewhere. Car companies will come forward with a new model of vehicle, a prototype that they've been working on designing that will ultimately lead to a production model similar to the prototype. The prototype's there to test, to promote the car, to encourage investment, and to build confidence in the company's future. The prototype's helpful to the company because they can refer back to it as they go forward with that design. And it's helpful to those who are investing in the company because they can look at that prototype and look forward to some returns on their money as that prototype moves into production. So prototypes are extremely helpful in this process. But I wonder if we could ever find a spiritual prototype, a spiritual example, a spiritual model that would help us as we go forward, that would give us greater confidence as we go forward. Well, Paul has been answering that question. Do we have any spiritual prototypes to help us? And he's been answering that in this chapter 4 because he really puts forward Abraham, of all the people in the Old Testament, he puts forward Abraham as the spiritual prototype, the first in a series of believers, one that we look back to as an example, as a model for how to believe going forwards. And so we want to ask, how can this kind of spiritual prototype help us? Now, there are a number of aspects of Abraham's faith that's brought before us here for our example to model. But what's especially emphasized here is how staggeringly unstaggering Abraham's faith was. You'll notice the words here. It says, no unbelief made him, verse 20, no unbelief made him waver or stagger in the sense of fall over or stumble or hesitate or vacillate. No unbelief made him stagger. And as we look at that, knowing Abraham's story, we are staggered in the sense of being amazed. And that's why I describe this as Abraham's staggeringly unstaggering faith, his surprisingly unwavering faith. That's what's brought before us, so that we can look at this and not stagger either. So in what sense was Abraham's faith so exemplary? Well, our first answer is this: faith staggers when it is hopeful. Think of an ultrasound. There's nothing more hope-filled, is there? When you see that first ultrasound, that there is actually something in here, somebody in here, that's so full of life, that gives you great confidence, great hope that a little one will soon be in your arms. And faith, true faith, staggering faith, surprising faith, is hopeful faith. It's a faith that is filled with hope. Look at verse 18. We're told, in hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope. So we're told two things here. We're told Abraham had no hope, and secondly, Abraham was full of hope. How do we make sense of that? Well, Abraham had no hope. We see that here, because it says he hoped against hope. He believed against hope. He had no hope in the natural sense of that word. Biology told him, Abraham, you're 100. Sarah, her womb is dead. Biology told him, there is no hope. History told him, there is no hope. People just didn't have children at that time, at that age. Human opinion told him, Abraham, there is no hope. And so in that sense, Abraham had no hope. There was no reasonable, rational, natural basis for his hope. And in that sense, it was against hope. It defied the usual conventions of hope. Because usually hope had some basis in biology or in history or in human opinion. So in that sense, Abraham had no hope. And yet we're told he believed against that. He had hope despite that. Despite the lack of natural hope, he had supernatural hope. In hope, he believed. In hope, he believed. Now, there's a difference between believing and hoping. You might think of football fans, how they go into each season believing their team could win the championship. Probably every football fan has some faith. Otherwise, why go along to the games? Why support them? Why give your money? They have some faith that this team this year will win the championship. But they might not have a lot of hope that will be so. They can believe it without being very hopeful. A Christian might believe God can cure their cancer, but may not have much hope, personal hope, optimism that will actually happen. And here we're told that Abraham not only had faith, he had hope. He had that optimism. He looked forward in faith, believing and also hoping. And this was especially amazing and surprising and staggering because he had hope when no one else had hope. He hoped against hope. He maintained this optimism when everything else and everyone else said, be pessimistic. There's nothing to look forward to, Abraham. And he insisted, no, I not only believe God can do this, I believe and I hope, I have confidence and optimism that he will. And so Abraham here invites us, challenges us to follow his example, to use him as a prototype and have not only faith but hope as well. We live in a very hopeless culture. And therefore it's very, very easy to have a faith that is hopeless. You believe, but there's not much hope. There's not much future prospect. There's not much optimism threaded through the hope. So hopeless faith is quite common. We say we're believers. We say we believe that God is able to bring life to a dying culture, a dying church. And yet, we're not really looking for that, and we're not praying for that. We believe God can bring about a national revival, awaken this whole nation from its spiritual death. And yet we're not that hopeful that it will happen, are we? And so in that sense, we're quite secular. We're just going off history, norms, human opinion, custom. And here Abraham says, whether it's personally, whether it's nationally, whether it's internationally, it's not enough just to have a faith. We want to have a hope-filled faith. Hopeless faith does not stagger anyone. That's normal. Hopeful faith is staggering faith. It's surprising faith. It gets attention. And so we want to believe with hope because hope-taking faith is breathtaking faith. Hope-taking faith is breathtaking faith. In that sense, Abraham is our prototype. But does that mean we just ignore reality? Does faith just ignore reality? Well, no, we see here faith staggers when it's realistic. Look at verse 19. Abraham here considered his weakness, we're told. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So here we're told Abraham considered twice. He thought carefully and deeply about his own deadness and Sarah's deadness. You know, there are some people and their faith is based on denying reality. It may be someone who has a disease and they just ignore it. They deny it exists and they believe they'll just keep on living. That's not faith. That's a denial of reality. And so when Abraham was promised a child, way past childbearing age and Sarah, he didn't ignore that. He thought about it. He looked at himself. He looked at the wrinkles. He looked at the aging. He looked at Sarah, shriveled, senior. And he said, well, that's reality. This is exactly the problem. We're dead. He considered his weakness, but his faith did not weaken. He considered his weakness, but his faith did not weaken. Look at, again, verse 19. He did not weaken in faith. He's considering his weakness, but his faith is not being weakened by that. He's looking at reality, but faith is triumphing over reality. And I'll tell you a story from my own life. I remember back in the early 2000s when I was first asked to teach Old Testament at a seminary level, I was actually a bit scared because I had heard over the years many mentions of how the Old Testament was completely unreliable. There were mistakes here, mistakes there, and I just ignored it. I said, no, I believe my Bible. I believe my Bible. I have faith in my Bible, and I just keep going. And I knew that if I accepted this position, teaching the Old Testament, I would have to look, I'd have to consider these challenges to the inspiration of Scripture. I'd have to look at what these so-called scholars, these critics of the Bible, were arguing, because I had to equip pastors to be able to help and prepare their congregations to go out into the world, to go to colleges and things like that, and answer some of these questions. And I must be honest, I was a bit scared. I was scared it would weaken my own faith, that it would undermine my own confidence in Scripture, that I would come across an argument that I couldn't find an answer for. And so I did accept it, but with much trepidation. And I remember sending away for books, and the books would come. And I would open them almost with my eyes closed, like just dreading what I would read. But as the days went on and the weeks went on and the months went on, I started reading their arguments and then started reading counter-arguments. As I considered the reality of their criticisms and the reasons for their criticisms, I also began to see how weak their criticisms were, and how many arguments there were against their criticisms, and how many answers that true Bible believers have to some of these great challenges against the truthfulness of Scripture. And so the end result was, actually, instead of my faith being weakened by considering these accusations, ultimately, by facing the reality of them, my faith was strengthened. And this is what Abraham has here. He considered his weakness, but his faith did not weaken. In fact, it strengthened. He didn't deny reality, but he faced it. He admitted it. He thought it through, and yet his faith did not weaken one bit. That's staggering faith. as it says here, faith staggers when it's realistic. So, when we're in denial, when we're not facing reality, and yet we say we believe, that's not staggering faith. That's not surprising faith. Surprising faith, staggering faith is when we look reality in the face, when we look at our challenges and face them head on. That's staggering faith. And I've seen that many times in God's people as they perhaps come to the end of their lives, they're dying, or they know they're dying. Or parents who are facing great challenges with their children, heartbreaking, heart-rending challenges. And yet, despite the reality of this pain, these problems, this imminent death, their faith does not weaken. In fact, it's staggering to see that, to hear their testimony, to watch as weakness surrounds them, yet this faith arises and does not waver. That kind of faith, realistic faith, is staggering faith. Denial strengthens doubt. Reality strengthens faith. So, Abraham's a prototype, a model for us here too, in that it's a faith that is realistic and yet still believes fully. You might say, well, is it okay for faith to waver now and again? Well, let's see that thirdly. Because faith staggers when it does not stagger. I'm using stagger in two different ways here. Faith staggers in the sense of surprises us, stuns us, astonishes us. When it does not stagger, when it does not stumble, when it does not fall, when it does not falter. That's what's brought before us here. In verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. Unbelief makes us stagger, right? When we doubt, when we question, when unbelief gets strong in our life, then we begin to falter. We vacillate and we oscillate, and we don't know which way to go. We totter this way and we stumble that way. But for Abraham, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But instead of wavering, he was strengthened. He grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. And there's a beautiful virtuous cycle here. We have Abraham's faith in God that brings glory to God, that God then rewards with an even stronger faith, that brings glory to God, that God then rewards with even stronger faith. That's what the words say, don't they? He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. How does faith give glory to God? How does faith reflect honor to God? Well, it does it in two ways, privately and publicly. Privately, in the sense that when no one else is around, when it's just you and God, when we believe in his trustworthiness and his truthfulness, God is pleased. God is honored. Whether anyone else sees it or not, he sees it. He is pleased by it. And he rewards it with even more faith. So God is glorified privately. And that's an encouragement to us when no one else can see our faith, whether we're at home or in hospital or in a nursing home, we can still bring glory to God by our faith. But also publicly. When people see that our faith does not stagger, it doesn't waver, it doesn't vacillate, it doesn't oscillate, it doesn't get changed with the tides and currents of this age. We're not made to stumble over when challenged. When people see that, it's staggering. Strong faith here is strengthening. when we give God faith, we give God glory. And God gives us more faith. God gives us more faith. So what is strong faith? Well, that's our fourth and final truth here. Faith staggers when it is fully convinced. And this is going even further than unwavering, unstaggering faith. It's fully convinced. How much did Abraham believe? We're told here. 21. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. How much did Abraham believe God? We're told here, aren't we? 100%. Totally. Completely. Fully. You might have a question here. If you know your Old Testament, you know Abraham. I think he wavered. I'm not sure if he was fully convinced all the time, was he? Well, the Bible tells us he was. So how do we make sense of the Hagar episode, for example? There's two ways of looking at this. One is to say that in the Hagar incident, Abram's faith that God would give him a world blessing seed did not waver. What wavered was not the who or the what was promised, but how the promise would be accomplished. Abraham took things into his own hands to advance this promise that he believed in. And so in that sense, you could still say he was fully convinced in the what, although he sinned in the how. That's possible. Another possibility, I think personally more likely, is that this is speaking of where Abraham got to in his faith. When you look at Genesis 11, Abraham leaves Haran for the promised land. It's like 100%. Next, he's going down to Egypt instead of going to the promised land. And he tells lies to the Pharaoh there. His faith wavers. Then God gives him new promises and he continues on. But then he commits immorality with Hagar. His faith wavers. Then God gives him new promises again, or renews the promises and gives him circumcision. And from then on, it would appear, his faith was fully convinced. So there was a bit of zigging and zagging, a bit of up and a bit of down. There was struggle. There was battle. It wasn't like he was a believer 100% fully convinced all the time, right from the beginning, right to the end. But that's where he got to. And again, I think this is hugely encouraging to us. When we think of the example of Abraham and we look at ourselves, we say, yeah, I'm zigging, I'm zagging, I'm up, I'm down, I'm doing well, I'm doing badly. But God here is looking at the general overall direction of his faith and the ultimate climax of his faith. He looks at his best time of faith and he says, inspired here through Paul, he was fully convinced that what he had promised, God was able to perform. So you can be saved even when your faith is staggering and stumbling. Abraham was. We are. But we want a faith that is a bigger and a better faith than a staggering and zigzagging and oscillating faith. We want a faith that is fully convinced, that's 100%, that's total and complete. And God can give that. If he can give it to Abraham, he can give it to us. And so he says, look to Abraham as your prototype. And yes, you may start with staggering faith, but go on to unstaggering faith, unstumbling faith, steady faith, fully convinced faith, because that's the faith that staggers people. People aren't staggered so much by a wavering, quavering, oscillating believer. They're staggered by convinced believers. They're staggered by confident believers. They're staggered by people who put their whole trust 100% in God and His Word without questioning. Unbelievers will stagger when believers do not stagger. Unbelievers will be surprised when our faith is steady and stable and fully convinced. Do we have any spiritual prototypes to help us? How do they help us? Well, faith in Abraham is our prototype. And that kind of faith staggers people when it is hopeful, realistic, when it does not stagger, and when it's fully convinced. Therefore, use Abraham's unstaggering faith as a prototype to stagger others with your faith. It's an invitation. It's a challenge, but it's also an invitation, isn't it? And as we think about that, we cannot but think of the greatest prototype. Because notice how this passage ends. He doesn't end with Abraham, he ends with Jesus. He says that's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness, verse 22. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. So we've got prototype for us. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He's explicitly pointing to Abraham as our prototype and implicitly pointing to Jesus as our greatest prototype, the one we ultimately believe in, but the one who was also the ultimate believer. His faith was full of hope. His faith was realistic. His faith was unstaggering. His faith was fully convinced. You think of that at every step of Jesus' life. His faith was perfect. And his perfect faith covers Abraham's imperfect faith and our imperfect faith. We look at his faith with admiration. We're staggered. We're stunned, especially when we consider the challenges to his faith, all that his faith went through. We think of him even on the cross. And yet at every single point of the way, his faith did not stagger. His faith was always hopeful. It was always realistic. It was always unstaggering. And it was always fully convinced. We admire that. We adore that. We worship that. And as our faith is transferred to him, his faith is transferred to us. The apostle here speaks of this great transfer. That as all our imperfections are transferred to him by faith, his perfection is transferred to us and becomes ours. So that even his perfect faith is counted to us for righteousness. This is a faith, surely, that every believer wants. We're called to be a prototype to others, to stagger others with unstaggering faith. And if there's someone here and you're not a believer yet, you look at Abraham and you look at Jesus and you look at other Christians and you see them as prototype believers, but you know you don't have faith yourself. Abraham's here to invite you, to call you, to challenge you to follow his faith in transferring your faith to Jesus. And although at the beginning it may be a very weak faith, an uncertain faith, a questioning faith, an unconvinced faith, even a hopeless faith, yet that faith will grow. That faith will strengthen. That faith will stabilize. That faith will become more fully convinced by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's who we look to ultimately, isn't it? Faith is a gift of God. We're called to exercise it in a way that staggers others. Let's pray. Staggering God and Saviour, give us Abraham's unstaggering faith. And do this for your glory, our good, and the good of others. Amen.